The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When Jesus and his disciples left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door, and he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go. Go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also. For that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
My friends, please be seated. Speaking of casting out demons, I've spent the last few weeks culling books in my upstairs bookshelves, trying to get rid of some of the books that I have collected over the years that I thought I was going to read but didn't read, or books I read years ago and haven't read for a while and probably won't pick up again. Just make more space in my bookshelf. And one of the books that I came across was the 1975 Westport High School yearbook. Guess who graduated in 1975 from Westport High? And on the cover, it's sort of interesting, there's a picture of a young man, and he's got an afro on. And of course, all the men in our senior class at that time, you either had two kind of haircuts, right? You either had an afro, or if you had kind of straight hair like me, you had long hair, it was down to your shoulders or down to your shoulder blades like mine was at some point in time. I see some people shaking their heads. Oh, would we have that amount of hair again, right? But one of the things as I was looking through my yearbook, I discovered or remembered some of the activities that I had been involved in high school. And for the 4 years I was in high school, I was in the theater arts group and helped with the high school play. I finally got to act in my senior year. I played Linus in Your Good Man Charlie Brown. Some people think that's typecasting. I don't know. But for the first 3 years, I was part of the group of kids who built the scenes, built the staging, right? So we worked on painting the scenes, and when the time came to move the scenes between acts, we did all that sort of thing. And, you know, we were kind of thinking we had like a secondhand job that wasn't all that important. But our theater arts teacher made it very clear to us that what we did in changing the scenes and creating the scenes was as important as the acting, is important in so many ways as the script, because the scenes and the movement of the scenes draw people into the story and help to make the story real for people, more believable for people, true for people, and draws them in. And the Gospel of Mark really is, if it's not about nothing else, it's about quickly changing scenes. Jesus is a Christ of movement. He's moving from one scene to another very quickly. And I count at least four scene changes in this little gospel text that we have this morning. The first scene takes place in a home where Jesus is with Simon and Andrew, and their mom is sick. We get the sense that it's a pretty serious illness. And Jesus, through his love and his ministry and the authority given him through his Father, casts out this illness from this poor woman. Now, she really is a poor woman because immediately she gets up and she has to serve the boys, right? That doesn't seem really fair to me in so many ways, but maybe there's a larger meaning here. When Christ comes into our lives and brings healing to us, we are restored, and part of our restoration is to go out and serve others. That word that stands for service in this text this morning is the same word from which deacon comes from, being a servant, going out in the community to serve. So when we are healed, when Christ comes into our lives and restores us, we just don't sit back. We go out and we share, we serve. Now, the scene then shifts pretty quickly from the home to the threshold of the home, and suddenly before Jesus in this next scene, all the people in the community, they were on the outside, maybe looking in to see what was going on, not really invited into the home. But Jesus takes a step outside the door and then also invites them into the community of healing and faith. He touches them. He brings about healing to them. He restores these people in the streets, the whole city. Jesus is moving. His geography is expanding from the house to the streets to now the community. And then he does something maybe counterintuitive. He then goes off, finds a place to be alone, and prays. This is the next scene, scene three. The disciples then hunt him down. You kind of wonder why these people who said they were following Jesus weren't with him anyway. And following him, I think Jesus is revealing to us the importance of prayer and ministry. When you are about service and about caring, it's important to come away for a time of prayer, a time of restoration, of being with our Lord. Be renewed in the power of the Spirit through prayer. Now, the disciples say to Jesus, you know, come on, all these people, they just love you. They adore you. You've healed them. They want you to come back, be with them. And, you know, a real temptation for Jesus at that point in his life is to go back into that town, maybe set up the church, you know, maybe have a nice office in the church, a great parking space right outside the church, maybe have his name on the sign, Pastor Lord Jesus Christ right there. But Jesus would have none of that. He's not about resting on his laurels or staying still. He has a mission, and he says, my mission, what I have been called to do is to go out, to expand my geography even more, to expand the knowledge of God's love, not just to this town, but to all the cities of Galilee, to the whole region. Jesus is continually expanding his geography, continually expanding the message, and bringing more and more people into the community. In Christ, there is no east or west. There is no north or south. That was the hymn we just sang. God's goal, Christ's goal, is to bring all the world into community with one another, a community of love and peace and sharing, a community where people care for one another, in the name of Christ. God's goal, my brothers and sisters, is to create family. Family of all the people of the earth, that we might live together and love one another in the name of Jesus. Well, last week we took a look at our church budget, right? When we had our annual meeting, and some of you wonks really got the whole budget. And we're looking at all these columns of numbers. Numbers can be pretty boring if you think about it. But you know, when I look at numbers in a church budget, I have a sort of a different perspective. I see something really cool going on there. Each penny, each dollar, I see as another verse in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ being lived out in this church and an expansion of the geography of this church. We start here in the sanctuary, where it is made comfortable for us by all the folks who work so hard in this sanctuary to make it a good and comfortable place where we can worship God and be nourished by his word and by the fellowship and by the wonderful music from our choir. Our souls are restored here. And part of our budget goes to that. But part of our budget also goes down the hall, to where, my brothers and sisters, we care for and provide a safe and nurturing space for a ministry that goes on that helps young children who cannot speak English well and their families to grow and to learn and to become more prepared to enter school and to be productive citizens. And then our ministry expands beyond that to the grounds around this church where so many people are working so hard to make a beautiful garden of contemplative prayer that others are invited to come in onto our church grounds to share in that peace and the beauty of this property and to feel nourished in their souls. And our ministry expands like the geography of Jesus to go down the hill to Crisis Assistance Ministries, right? CCM, where brothers and sisters, we provide the land and have made a space for others who are poor and neglected, who are marginalized, to come and get sustenance. Our church budget helps to expand the love of God. Now, my brothers and sisters, we're moving down the hill to Avante Nursing Home, where we expand the love of God and the geography of this church, where we bring the Eucharist, where the Eucharist that is blessed by Nancy on this altar is shared with the residents of the nursing home there, who so many people tell me of all different denominations that if we weren't going there, they wouldn't have communion. Our ministry, our geography of love expands. And it expands now through the work of Chuck and some of the others in our community as we gather together with our friends at Grace Lutheran Church to expand this whole idea that in Christ there is no east or west, there is no north or south. We are all part of one community. The barriers that we have put up between each other over the years are false barriers, and they are deplorable to God because God wants us to expand our geography and to bring more and more and more people into the family, that all of them would be family as we love God, as we love one another. So the temptation now is to pat ourselves on the back and say, we're doing pretty good. Look at all these things we are doing. Look at how we have expanded our geography. But that's not how it works. When you're journeying with Jesus, the scenes always change. And before us, brothers and sisters, our untold ministries and untold opportunities and things that we can't even imagine now that God would have this church do in our Galilee, which is Cabarrus County. There are ministries out there waiting to be discovered. There are people who are hurting, that need the good news and need healing. There are people who are lost, who need to be found. And our ministry, as we travel with Jesus and our geography expands, we'll find that those people, and some of you may not know it yet, but God has given you the spiritual gift to help those people. When your ministry melds with the ministry of this church and carries on our expanding geography of faith and love throughout Cabarrus County. Tomorrow morning, my brothers and sisters, we will all wake up. And we will have before us the opportunity to expand our love, to expand our geography, if you will. God would have us to grow and love him more and more each day, to find ways to do that. God would have us to love our neighbor more deeply and to expand the meaning of what and who our neighbor is. And God would have us grow in love for ourselves. We sometimes neglect that. But when God sees you and you and you and you and all of us together, he smiles because we are his beloved children created in his image. So love yourself. Grow in your love for self as well. Tomorrow morning, the curtain will rise on a new day and you will take the stage of another day of your life. What story will the scenes of your life portray? How will the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ be lived out through you? Amen.